Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. But we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And I want to start out, since it is Sunday, I want to start out with this week's religious instruction. This week's religious instruction comes to us from the back page of one of those local free newspapers that you find outside of local shops. The local free newspaper that nobody reads, that the home you pick them up so that you can use them for cleaning windows and bird cages and things like that. On the back page of our local free rag, we have an ad published by a non-governmental organization, a 501c3 charitable organization that is, the ad is kind of passed off as news, kind of. I mean, you have to be paying attention to realize it's not news, that it's an ad. But it is an advertisement admonishing us with this week's religious instruction to abandon zip-close plastic bags. That's what they call them, zip-close. Because they can't use Ziploc, or Ziploc would sue them. So they call them zip-close plastic bags, and nobody even knows what that is, a zip-close plastic bag. Anyway, this week's religious instruction instructs us that zip-close plastic bags have become a staple in pantries since the 1970s. The average American family uses more than 500 zip-close bags annually, but although convenient, they have a destructive impact on our environment and our health. But although convenient. Okay, well, if you use but or although, you don't have to use the other word. Anyway, let's see. They say that these plastic bags, zip-close, we'll just say Ziploc, just because we're for Ziploc bags and we're not worried about Ziploc suing us. We use Ziploc bags. Do you think we use 500 Ziploc bags a year? I would say that's roughly about right. That's a little more than one a day, probably. Okay, they're made with plastic generated from fossil fuels. And if placed in recycling bins, they can clog machines, hindering the recycling process. So Ziploc bags hinder religious progress by hindering the recycling process. They're also dumped in landfills where they remain for generations. Plastic bags degrade over centuries, but they never really completely go away. Which technically is probably true, because matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So technically, they never completely go away. But let's leave that aside. Studies show we eat about a credit card's worth of plastic every week. And then there's a reference to the study. Oh, no, there's not a reference to the study. We just continue. Scientists have found microplastics in both the lungs and the blood of people. Additionally, more than 15 million metric tons of plastic enters the ocean each year, endangering marine animals, which are more important than people, of course. They have to mention the animals because the followers of this religion, they might not be that concerned with people, but you start mentioning the marine animals. Anyway, reusable sandwich bags are made. There are a variety of alternatives. Reusable sandwich bags made of cloth with fun covers. Fun colors, I'm sorry. Fun. A sandwich bag made of cloth just sounds like a fun cover. I couldn't help it. With fun colors and designs. And there are others made of silicone. And these bags can be washed and reused for years. Then there are also stainless steel containers for your sandwiches. Stainless steel, I said. For convenience, you know. And there are other alternatives. Stainless steel, by the way, is durable and easily cleaned in the dishwasher. Reusable bags and containers can be more expensive up front, but they will save you money over time. One study found families could save $250 per person per year using reusable options like stainless steel, cloth, or silicone. Bless you, for you have sinned. All right, so that's this week's religious instruction. That's stainless steel as an alternative to a Ziploc bag. That's, talk about penance. All right, now speaking of that, how are you supposed to wash your reusable cloth sandwich bag? Which, that's an interesting concept right there. Salmonella, anyone? I'll get to the dishwashers. They're not going to be any dishwashers.
Dishwasher doesn't work anyway.
Even the dishwashers now barely work, and they're going to regulate the dishwashers and the washing machines to where they don't wash. But let's start off with low-hanging fruit, Joe Biden. I hate to make fun of Joe Biden because, like I said, you know, I mean, how much talent does it take to make fun of a guy who is just a walking joke? Anyway, Biden, so I read this, the headline from the New York Post. Biden jokes he's really not Irish because he's sober. And I chuckled for a second. And I read the article. Biden jokes about his Irish ancestry. He's surprised that his Irish relatives aren't in jail. And that he's really not Irish because he doesn't drink alcohol. So anyway, I was going to use this bit as evidence that Biden might be faking the senility. Because if you can still make a joke, a pretty good joke, especially a pretty good ethnic joke, maybe you're not as senile as you're acting. So that was gonna be my take, but then I saw the video. And the New York Post reporter was being very generous here, making it sound as if Biden had made a funny joke, but when you watch the video, it's just painful. It's not funny. But Biden is actually too senile to make a good joke, even about a drunken Irishman. And if you can't make a good joke about a drunken Irishman on St. Patrick's Day, you probably shouldn't be the president of the United States. It's a little bit scary. But boy, was that lame. Meanwhile, as the Southern District of New York prepares to indict Donald Trump and perhaps arrest him. By the way, I just want to remind you people that I, on this broadcast, pointed out the real possibility of Donald Trump being handcuffed live on TV back on August 14th, 2022. And if it does happen, if the arrest occurs, I predict that Donald Trump will stage it for maximum effect. He'll make the hacks who think they're making him unelectable, the hacks who think they're making Donald Trump election proof, he'll make them look like a bunch of amateur bozos, kind of like he did in November of 2016. I mean, Barack Obama and the people running the Biden administration and the just a system there in New York, you should keep in mind that this is television, Barry. Barry, this is TV. You were always a stiff on TV, Barry. If you weren't black, you would have never gotten elected because you're a stiff on TV. And Donald Trump, as vulgar as he is, he was always a natural for TV. So don't hand him this opportunity. In fact, as we go to tape today, it seems like the powers that be may be reconsidering the whole perp walk of Donald Trump. They floated out the trial balloon that they were going to arrest him. And he was already riding it so high by Friday afternoon that the powers that be were like, well, maybe it'd be a mistake to arrest Trump on TV. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I want to go to the Southern District because There was another arrest recently in the Southern District of New York, or I'm sorry, on an indictment from the district attorney there in the Southern District of New York that didn't get nearly as much media attention, but is perhaps instructive of what's happened since the 2020 takedown of America by the communists who've long so wanted to do so and have done so. Did I say that? Long so wanted to? Yes. It's been done. The long proposed communist takedown of the Western democracy, America, freedom and liberty and justice and all of that that was achieved in 2020 has perhaps now been institutionalized here in the former America, where the Gateway Pundit actually had a paid ad from New Noah. And this is Matt Palumbo, who wrote the article. And I think he is with Dan Bongino. I'm not sure if it's the same Matt Palumbo. How many could there be? But he wrote about the arrest of Miles Guo, who is a Chinese billionaire who left China back in 2017. When Chairman Xi started to arrest people for, not conspiracy, he started arresting people for, what's the word I'm looking for? That's embarrassing. Speaking of senility, I'm not faking it. I can't find the word. Corruption was the word. Corruption. And when the Chinese Communist Party starts arresting people for corruption, in the past, we all knew that they were arresting people who were competing with the Chinese Communist Party for dictatorial, mafia-like control of the Chinese and China. That's what that was all about. They were arresting their political enemies. So that's what we all knew in the past, because the Chinese Communist Party were the bad guys. And anyone they were persecuting, we could at least suspect could be a good guy. We would at least give them the benefit of the doubt initially, right? Well, Miles Guo was arrested, and about a half hour before he was arrested, before the United States Justice Department published the unsealed indictment against Miles Guo, Bloomberg News had already published a 1,200-word article detailing that unsealed indictment. So apparently Bloomberg News knew about the sealed indictment before the Department of Justice released it to the public and then arrested Chinese dissident Miles Guo. And this was just, about a month ago. I should have written that down. When did the arrest actually take place? Not a month ago, a week ago. Okay, thank you. About a week ago. Miles Guo is an enemy of the CCP, a self-declared enemy of the Chinese Communist Party. And he had expected his own arrest for several months. He even predicted it. And the author of this article, Matt Palumbo, who again, I believe, is with Dan Bongino, writes that this is a conspiracy by traitors inside our federal government working with the Communist Chinese Party, the Chinese Communist Party even, to take out their most feared enemy, Miles Guo, who gave up his family's security and billions of dollars in assets in China only to dedicate his entire life to the eradication of the Chinese Communist Party. Okay, so I will assume that Miles Guo is probably not as pure as the driven snow. And I'm going to assume he got rich and successful in China by working with the Chinese Communist Party, and that Miles Guo was a bad guy in China. I'm going to assume he was a bad guy. He was perhaps a mafioso who offended the mafia. That's what I'm going to assume about Miles Guo. He was a mafioso who offended the mafia, and now the mafia wants him out of the picture. The mafia being the CCP and all of that. After Miles Guo was arrested. The judge at his hearing asked the New York prosecutors about their investigation, and the New York prosecutors disclosed that they had worked closely with China throughout the investigation of Miles Guo. And the author, Mr. Palumbo, notes that the fact that the U.S. prosecutors felt comfortable working with the Chinese Communist Party to criminally prosecute Mr. Guo, one of the Chinese Communist Party's most feared enemies, on American soil, should scare every American. So here you've got the Southern District of New York investigating a dissident working with the Chinese to arrest the dissident. The mafioso who offended the mafia being taken down by the cops who are supposed to prosecute the mafia, which is pretty scary. It's kind of like Trump. Kind of like Trump. Trump was one of them who has offended them. And he knows where all the bodies are buried, or at least where a lot of the bodies are buried. And so he has to be destroyed, even if it means destroying the world. So wouldn't it be ironic that the same Southern District of New York pile of prosecutors who arrested Miles Guo for the Chinese Communist Party next week either indict or maybe even arrest Donald Trump for the Democrat Party finally codifying and confirming what we'd all suspected, that the DNC and the CCP are all the same mafia? Yeah. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for coming back with us. We go now into the death penalty file, where Ron DeSantis has signed the death warrant of Louis Bernard Gaskin. Gaskin was arrested in 1989 for multiple murders. 1989! He drove to Palm Coast in Florida. He saw a couple sitting in their den, and so he shot the husband, Robert Stumpfels, twice through the window. As the wife, Georgette Stumpfels, stood up, he shot her, and then he shot Robert, the husband, a third time. Georgette crawled into the hallway, but the killer pursued her and shot her again. He then shot both victims one more time in the head before robbing their house of various items like lamps, a grandfather clock, a video cassette recorder, jewelry, and some cash. He proceeded to the house of a second set of victims, Joseph and Mary Rector. I'll post the article. You can read the story. It's terrifying, horrifying how he killed this couple. They tried to escape in their car. He shot them down. Joseph and Mary Rector. Gunned down like animals, this guy. This guy's an animal. He confessed to the murders and one other murder, and he's been on death row for over 30 years. He confessed. But left-wing fanatic religious, left-wing religious fanatics in the just system have tirelessly dedicated themselves to mocking God and justice by keeping this bastard alive for over 30 years. And the just system has facilitated it on purpose. For what is their purpose? It's all related to the communist, godless, heathen takedown of America. The justice system was a part of it. It was all fingers in the same glove working together. The fingers of the black hand in the same glove working together to take down America. So anyway, Ron DeSantis has signed his death warrant. Louis Bernard Gaskin may or may not be put to death on April 12th. We will keep you posted. If he is put to death, we will celebrate it and we will congratulate Ron DeSantis for doing right 33 and a half years too late. But I guess
it's not him.
No. Ron DeSantis wasn't even out of grade school when this guy should have been executed. What's 30 years ago? How old's... You got to figure DeSantis is, what, 45? He was still in high school. All right, now, speaking of the decline and fall of Western civilization, we go to the decline and fall file where Ron DeSantis, the DeSantis administration, is revoking the alcohol license for the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Miami. Why? For hosting a sexually explicit show with children present. Drag Queen Christmas. A Drag Queen Christmas was performed. It was performed on December 27th. On December 27th, 2022, the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation warned the Hyatt Regency Miami against hosting a drag queen show for children. So the state finds out you're going to sexually molest children, and what does the state do? They warn you. So how can the governor and the state know beforehand and during, while it was happening, that it was happening and not do something about it? How can that be? Will it be? And a Florida Voice reporter, a media reporter, attended the Miami show and shot video for the state. That's kind of creepy. Anyway, the venue proceeded. According to the department, the venue, the Miami Hyatt Regency, went ahead with the show despite their warning. And so they decided to conduct an investigation. Why conduct an investigation? If you know somebody's going to host a drag queen show for children, why not show up and arrest some of these perverts? Oh, that's right. I forgot. It's not illegal. Well, really? Is it not illegal? I mean, if I'm the sheriff, maybe it's illegal, maybe it's not, I'm going to arrest these people and then we'll find out and see if the charges. Surely there's some charge you can arrest someone on for showing naked stripper type people to children. But maybe not. Maybe I'm insane. The state issued a statement. Sexually explicit content is not appropriate to display to children. Well, it's not appropriate to display to anyone, you fools. But for children, it's extreme criminal behavior. Extreme to display it to children. The strip show at the Hyatt Regency show, it allowed minors to come, but only if they were accompanied by adults, which is also very creepy. And somebody should be arrested because that's, I mean, and so the governor of Florida, the best he can do is he can suspend their liquor license for showing a strip. Anyway, it's no wonder that the communists took the country down. If we were that hollowed out and gutted that we didn't understand that strip shows for kids should be criminal, then it's probably time for the new boss to take over. And there you have it. All right, but there still are some sane people. From the Tough Love File, the Vermont Principals Association is a bunch of sexually deviant, perverted, corrupt criminals who should all be arrested. Why? Because the Vermont Principals Association has banned the Mid-Vermont Christian School from competing in any sports after the Christian school violated the policies of the Vermont Principals Association. They violated, quote, our commitment to racial gender fair awareness and gender identity. That was a spokes fag for the Vermont Principals Association. So the Christian school wouldn't bow to the homosexual, transgendered, psychopathic mafia. And so the Vermont Principals Association has banned the Christian school, saying that we have a prohibition against discrimination that includes discrimination based on a student's actual or perceived sex and gender. Sex and gender? I mean, if you use the first, do you really have to? But hey, why not both? Maybe you could have a sex and then a different gender. You could have one sex and one gender. And depending on which principal wants to molest you, either gender or sex could be expressed or represented depending on which principal was interested in you. I mean, just in case you have both, why not? All right. So the Christian school, Vermont, Mid-Vermont Christian School, is banned indefinitely from, and what the school should do, the president or the principal of Mid-Vermont Christian should officially withdraw and resign from whatever organization they were a part of that was associated with this pile of creepy perverts, the Vermont Principals Association. They should officially withdraw from that organization and issue a statement of Christian opposition to sexual immorality and child abuse as it is advocated by the Vermont Principals Association. And they should challenge the president of the Mid-Christian Vermont, should challenge the president of the Vermont Principals Association to a public debate over the promotion of sexual immorality and child abuse. That's what should happen. If I were head of the school, of course I wouldn't be ahead of a... No, I wouldn't do that. But all right. But anyway, we'll hope and pray that the leadership at Mid-Vermont Christian will take this challenge up and start putting it in people's faces. Because if you stand up against these child molesting pervert deviants, most people just by their own gut gag reflex are going to be on your side and against the creepy pile of pervy principals there in Vermont. What happened to Vermont? For crying out loud. From Ben and Jerry to a bunch of the Principals Association advocating for the molestation of children in less than a generation. It's shocking how complete, how absolute, and how fast the communist takedown took place once all the pieces were in place. And what were one of the main pieces was the so-called sexual revolution. From the Decline and Fall file, we have a report from the Federalist: contraception, as much as it has, quote, empowered, unquote, women to delay or avoid pregnancy, has also enabled men to avoid the responsibilities of fatherhood, and that has been catastrophic for Western civilization in general. The contraception revolution has resulted in a massive redistribution of wealth and power from women and children to men. How? Well, just do the math. You make it so that men can have sex with anyone and have no responsibility, and who ends up winning? The men? Really? Somehow we thought the women would come out on top, but no, that didn't work out that way. The sexual revolution was supposed to uplift women, rescuing them from oppressive patriarchal norms that had imprisoned them in mundane, soul-crushing nuclear families. But what actually happened was it led to the exploitation of women, exemplified by a consumerist mentality that views sex and sexual encounters as mere products. Indeed, it's impossible to even imagine the Me Too movement without the pill. That's right, because if men hadn't been empowered by contraception to seduce and molest every woman within their orb, if they had enough power and money, that the Me Too could have never happened. So many bad things could have never happened without the pill and without the sexual revolution. The sexual revolution catechized women to fear their own fertility and perceive children as a threat, putting women at war with their own bodies. And that wreaked havoc on all members of society. Wow. And the article in the Federalist, I will link to it, concludes in noting that about 40% of American children lack a biological father in the home. And if you want to know how it is and why it is that the communists were able to take down America, it was that is the primary reason right there. Whose fault is it? It's the father's fault. The fathers of America, who could have stood up against the communists and the deviants and the perverts and the godless, filthy piles of scum who came for our children, the fathers who could have stood up, they just weren't there. They were unavailable. They were consuming sports, pornography, and video games. And more sports and then more pornography. That's where they were. The potential fathers who could have defended and stood on the ramparts against the enemy, they were otherwise engaged. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for hanging with us through the decline and fall of Western civilization and the last shreds of hope and rays of sunshine through the darkness as they come to you from here at the studios of the Weekly Worldview. We dive right in now into the psychobabble file, where justthenews.com reports that there's a new strain of paranoia. A new strain of paranoid leftism that's making American teens and young adults sick. That's right. A new CDC report published last month says that teenage girls are particularly miserable in America today. Why might that be? Well, the aforementioned sexual revolution has an awful lot to do with it. 60% of U.S. teen girls have persistent feelings of sadness and despair. And that's double the rate of boys. So 30% of boys and 60% of girls, teenagers, are miserable. Persistent feelings of sadness and despair. According to the same CDC report, 3 million teenage girls contemplated suicide in 2021. What could be the reasons, ask the authors at Just the News, which is an alternative right-wing news site that is manned and managed, I believe, by people who are Christian. If not Christian, at least not insane, okay? As if there can be such a thing. I wonder anymore, and I'm more and more convinced every day, that if you're not a Christian, you are subject to insanity. At some point, you just lose your mind. That's all. People who don't know where they came from and have no connection to the God who created the universe eventually go insane. And that's the majority, perhaps for all time, it's always been that way. But for some reason, here at the beginning of the 21st century, the Christians who managed to keep the heathens from destroying themselves and us and each other and themselves, the Christians seem to have lost their saltiness or their ability to give some cohesive resilience to civilization. And it's frankly embarrassing to be involved in it. And I've had enough of it. So, the folks at Just the News asked the question, why are teenagers so miserable? Why have 3 million teenage girls contemplated suicide in the last year, for which we have data? Could it be COVID mitigation strategies? Could it be social media, Instagram, TikTok? What is it? Well, the good folks at Just the News say that these are all factors. However, they're not the only factors, it seems. And this, I just want to point this out. They are not the only factors, it seems. What do you mean, it seems? So even the authors at Just the News appear to be of the opinion that they can't really be sure of anything. And I'm telling you, that's dangerous. Now, there is a certain danger in believing you're right and being wrong. There is a danger to that. So we have to be careful. But to assume that you can't be sure of anything is, I believe, more dangerous of thinking you're right and doing wrong than never being sure you can be sure of anything. That seems more precarious to me and more fraught with peril. And that's where the conservatives of today seem to be. They're not sure if they can be sure of anything. And that's scary. The authors at Just the News say that a lot of the problem lies in the attitudes, behaviors, and ideologies exhibited by primary caregivers. Primary caregivers? What is that?
What is that?
I mean, the use of that bureaucratic phrase by the writers at Just the News is frankly depressing and alarming. Primary caregivers, as if you work for the bureaucracy. Are you part of the Borg? For crying out loud, what's going on? Researchers at Columbia University found that teens whose political ideologies lean left are far more likely to be unhappy than teens with more conservative. Anyway, so this article obviously was written by a sociology major or a psychologist. And so the author of this article himself is a symptom of the disease that's making the kids depressed. It's because all of the adults are vomiting out psychobabble. A majority of the time, that's all we get from the adults is psychobabble. A bunch of uncertain, unsure psychobabble from a bunch of uninspiring, not present adults. But that scares the kids. The kids don't know what they can count on, for crying out loud. You'd be depressed too and anxious. And by the way, it's everyone has always had worries and angst and anxiety. Everybody's always had that. It's just that thoughts of suicide were once taboo. But now they're fashionable. And so what happens? The kids start thinking about suicide because it's fashionable. And kids, they tend to follow fashionable things. And depression is now fashionable. It's fashionable to be depressed. And so more kids are depressed. It's fashionable to be trans. So more kids are coming out as trans. And it's easier to be fashionable than to be intelligent and thoughtful and deep. That's all. And so kids will be as lazy as you let them be. And so if they think that being depressed and miserable and suicidal is a way to get out of being intelligent, thoughtful, hardworking, and deep, they'll go for the former. And they will eschew the latter, and that's hence the end of civilization. And it's all the psycho-babbling, unsure parents and primary caregivers who are messing this whole thing up. All right. And it's a lack of a connection to and a confidence in the living God. There's a certain confidence in knowing that there are some things we're right about. And we know it. And as mom and dad, we're going to teach our kids that and that they can be certain of it. And then they won't be a bunch of blubbering, anxiety-ridden, suicidal, shallow, hollow, empty, vacuous morons. They'll be confident creations, creatures, human beings, people in the universe of the living God, and they'll know where they're going. And hopefully they won't crash the whole thing, for crying out loud. And speaking of crashing the whole thing, we go to the bad religion file, where contrary to the Discern report, which I think is Catholics, the Discern report, I can't recall. If they're Christian. They say, contrary to popular opinion that the Russian attack on Ukraine gave rise to the looming worldwide energy collapse, the authors here reveal that it's a long-planned strategy to dismantle industrial economies in the name of the dystopian green agenda. Well, I mean, don't we all remember just a short while back when senile Joe Biden started calling the rampant increase in the price of gas? He called it the Putin price increase. And everybody laughed and they were like, well, wait a second. That was all before Putin did any of the big. What do you think? We're not paying it. Do you think we're senile too, Joe? Well, apparently, if you tell that lie long enough and loud enough, it becomes now we have to refute that, even though didn't we all know that was bogus? Anyway, the good folks at the Discern Report go on to report that BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, he's a Fink is what he is. He's believed to be the one stirring up the energy crisis pot. How do we know that? Because he's been writing about it for several years. Back in January 2020, the Fink sent a letter to Wall Street colleagues and corporate CEOs announcing a radical departure from corporate investment by saying that money would go green, said Larry Fink, who, by the way, manages about $7 trillion in investments for BlackRock. He wrote that there would be a significant reallocation of capital. Climate risk, wrote Fink, is investment risk. Every government, company, and shareholder must confront climate change, he said. And he went on, he said the company would cut, the company being BlackRock, which manages a vast majority, I think, of the world's global investment funds. He says his company will cut certain high carbon investments, screen new investments to determine their adherence to the United Nations Agenda 2030. He said companies that do not respond to stakeholders and address sustainability risks will encounter growing skepticism from the markets. And he said that as if it were true, and people actually believed it as if it were true. Why? Is it because he earned the $7 trillion that he was managing? No. It's because he was a part of the one of the fingers of the black hand in the glove that was orchestrating the takedown of Western civilization. And he happened to get on top, climb atop a pile of sex perverts and deviants in the investment banking community. And he ends up atop BlackRock somehow. Not that he deserved it or earned it. And he convinced people that investment was going to go green. We're going to all invest in things that don't make any money, and it's all going to be okay. And people believed him as if he knew something. How this happened is because the fathers of America weren't home to say, hey, that kid's an idiot. Don't listen to that little moronic punk. Anyway, Fink went on to say that climate change has become a defining factor in companies. We are on the edge of a fundamental reshaping of finance, he said, right before he collapsed it all by investing stupidly in green idiocy. That everyone should have known that was all coming. But no, instead they continue. In fact, Obama Biden's energy department, I wrote that. I should be able to read that. I'm not going to call it the Biden administration any longer. I'm going to call it the Obama Biden whatever, because that's obviously what it is. Because Barry and Michelle and Michelle's mom are obviously running the country for George Soros and that creepy little pervert at the WEF. It's just all so obvious now who's in charge. And Chairman Xi, who is one of the fingers in the black glove there. The Obama-Biden Energy Department is proposing new efficiency standards for washing machines, at which point every red-blooded American should be saying, how can the president have anything to do with washing machines? Well, how did that happen? I mean, the president, he should be worried about defending us against foreign enemies, not washing machines, but instead the Obama-Biden administration, in an effort to confront the global climate crisis, is issuing consumer regulations, to advance climate change goals around the Energy Department's new proposed efficiency regulations that would effectively make washing machines so that they don't wash clothes, and dishwashers so that they don't effectively wash dishes. But they will effectively make you understand the guilt you have for destroying the planet while we progressively ban at least 60% of all gas stoves to make you understand the guilt that you should feel. The new efficiency standards for refrigerators, by the way, are slated to come in 2027. And so here we find ourselves at the ragged, jagged, depressing end of the fruit-bearing of the sexual revolution. And what is the fruit? Listen, they're going to destroy all the technological advances and all of the conveniences that actually rescued women from the drudgery of all of that, that they were supposed to be depressed about 100 years ago with the washing of the clothes and the washing of the dishes and the how am I going to cook for 7 people. All of the stuff that actually depressed women, we're set to destroy that and set women back 100 years. That is, any women that the maniacs allow to actually be left. If they allow any women to be left, they'll all be set back into the Stone Age. It's the Weekly Worldview, and before she gets a word out of her mouth, we're going to shut that one down. That creepy feminazi. Hey, I like her voice. I admit that. I like some of her music, but she is one of the... She's not one of the fingers of the glove. She's one of the festering bits of grime under the fingernails of one of the black fingers of the black hand. Inside the glove, working to progressively destroy America. That would be Cyndi Lauper. Thank you very much. And so appropriately, from the ragged, jagged, depressing end of the sexual revolution, we dive into the abolition of man file, where Paris is burning. Hundreds of people have been arrested in Paris as spontaneous protests and riots erupted after Emmanuel Macron raised the retirement age without a vote. At which point, every red-blooded American man stops and says, wait a minute, how is the president of France suggesting anything about a retirement age? And why would anyone vote on a retirement age? Isn't it up to me when I retire? And how is it that every red-blooded Frenchman doesn't understand that the government shouldn't have anything to do with all of that? But no, because we live in a dystopian socialist hellscape. People look at Emmanuel Macron and actually think he has the authority and ability to dictate the retirement age, because anyway, it's pretty sad that people believe that the government has the ability to set an age for retirement.
Yeah,
but they do. And why? Because it's not actually an age for retirement. It's actually the communist socialist government setting an age that you can start receiving money stolen from your children and your grandchildren. Your children and your grandchildren, whose love for you has been replaced by the Department of Health and Human Services, who start doling out the government cheese at, what is it going to be now? 64 instead of 62. By 2030, because we're a bureaucracy and we issue love in packages of government cheese that will be doled out to you at our discretion and on our timetable. So there you have the abolition of man file. And from there, we look backwards into the widespread tyranny file, where it turns out the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, they purchased data from tracking companies to monitor people's compliance with the lockdowns. So it turns out that the CDC purchased geofencing data on your cell phone and mine to see if we complied or how well we complied with the lockdowns. The CDC said that it would be using the tracking data to provide a comprehensive picture of movement, travel of persons, movement and travel of persons during the COVID-19 pandemic, to better understand non-pharmaceutical interventions. Did I say? Talk about a Freudian slip. Non-pharmaceutical inventions of interventions. To monitor adherence to mandated or recommended quarantines after arrival from another state, and to examine mobility patterns and spikes in COVID-19 cases at facilities such as churches and others. and to show patterns and compliance. That's according to the contracts that the CDC signed. That's why they were buying this tracking data, to find out who listened to them. The contracts run 71 pages long and were signed in 2021. So this is the government looking back to see who was complying and who wasn't. And I'm telling you, if you didn't comply, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. Because the vast majority of people just went along like sheep to the slaughter. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing to watch, and it was embarrassing to try not to participate in it, and was very uncomfortable for those of us who went into the store without the mask until we were literally physically removed. Those of us who stood up, they got us all on videotape, and there's only like 14 of us. So we're going to be easy to find. They're not going to have to look too hard through the... It'll be easier to find us than it will be to find the feds on the January 6th tape. Because we stand out even worse than they did. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, the district attorney there is now offering free shuttle service to his staff so they can get to work without being mugged, robbed, raped, beaten, or murdered in the streets of Los Angeles. That's right, the LA County District Attorney began to shuttle employees between their cars and their offices amid a series of incidents in which some have been confronted by the public. Uh-huh, that's right. The DA's office has launched the Employee Secure Transport and Escort Program, cutely called E-STEP, a free secure transportation service for employees assigned to the LA Civic Center area. The DA issued a statement saying, quote, security incidents involving aggressive confrontations initiated by members of the public have occurred while walking between their vehicles and offices. So the reality is that vagrants, drug addicts, maniacs, and criminals are attacking justice bureaucracy workers in the LA Civic Center area. That's the reality. But notice that the press release released by the DA presents the problem as if the public in general are the enemy. Security incidents involving aggressive confrontations initiated by members of the public. The public in general are the enemy of the justice system bureaucrats. They try to make it from their car to work. It's very instructive. This is very instructive of how the Black Hand and the CCP and the pile of criminally insane sex perverts intends to frame the coming incident, the coming tension, the coming, I don't know how to put it, what's coming. A Soviet-esque balance of tension between the proletariat and the ruling party, I guess is how I would put it. That's what's coming. And here's how they're going to frame it, is that it's not the maniacs and the criminals that they've legalized for their own purposes. It's not them that's the problem. It's just the general public. It's you and me, basically. We're the problem. And this is how they will set us up to eventually be arrested. Indicted and arrested, not unlike Miles Guo. And Donald Trump, who I think Miles Guo and Donald Trump are probably two of the sleaziest people ever in the history of the world, who acquired their fortunes through, let's just say, cozy relationships with the ruling party. Let's just leave it at that. But when sleazeballs like that end up dragging the whole system down because they can't be tolerated because they embarrass the powers that be. The sad thing is they take all of us with them. All of us. I'm talking about the fathers who did stay home, who did raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Unfortunately, these maniacs, these moronic, idiotic losers, these children are going to drag the rest of us down with them. And it's sad. Just like if you want to get on a flight, right? If you want to get on a flight, you're genuinely concerned about, is my plane going to hit another plane or the ground? you before landing me safely. A former Delta Airlines pilot, according to the Post Millennial, is raising that issue exactly, arguing that, quote, we're at a critical waypoint for safety, unquote, after observing an unusual number of commercial aviation incidents recently. Lee Moak piloted a Boeing 767 plane for Delta for years, and he notes several occurrences that have happened that have come close to resulting in tragic accidents. And he says that, well, he wrote an article called Airline Safety is at a Breaking Point. I'll link to it. We can't wait for a tragedy to fix it. Oh, really? Do you want to bet? Do you want to bet that the Obama-Biden administration and the pile of sexually deviant maniacs who've seized power, do you want to bet they can't wait for a... Yeah, we'll just see about that. A tragedy. All right. And so let's... Should I close with this? I probably should. Yeah. Let's close with this, ladies and gentlemen, because there was a ray of hope in the news. And it wasn't the boldest and brightest ray of hope, and you had to really be on your game to have noticed this ray of hope. But I did notice that this story broke across all platforms, from the far left to the middling left, which is, some people confuse that with the right, but it's really just the middling left. And even on over into the conservative and Christian Real News. This is a story that was broadcast loud and clear across all of the platforms. The platforms of our enemies as well as our friends. And so that's why this story gives me some hope. The story comes from us. The story comes to us, from the world of baseball, where a college baseball umpire has been, let's see, I believe he was suspended. Let's see here. He was suspended for a violation of the rules. Suspension, yes. An offending umpire was suspended. Why? Because he made a bad call on a second strike. Strike two. And then made a subsequent even worse call on a third strike. And it was so glaringly obvious to everyone that even the leftist news platforms who say that a boy can pretend he's a girl and a girl can identify as a plant or an animal or a boy, even they admitted that that was not a strike. That's right. That's right. In front of God and everybody, they rolled the videotape and they said that is not a strike. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you saw the video, I'll post the link to it, and you judge for yourself. If the strike that this umpire called a strike, you judge whether or not it was a strike. But I'm here to tell you that if the left admits that there are such things as balls and strikes, their entire worldview collapses. Their entire worldview collapses if they admit that there can be something that can be objectively called a ball or a strike. And they did it. They all did it last week, and I don't think they realize it yet, but they've given us the opening we need to point to the fact that even they, in their dark and twisted dystopian worldview, even they, way deep down in the bottoms of their black little hearts, they still have some connection with the conscience that God gave them. And it was revealed in this article, because nobody on the left came out and rolled the video and said, you know, that was obviously a ball that identified as a strike, and that's okay. No, they didn't say that. They said this was atrocious. And so that's all we need, folks, is just one little opening to get through and hopefully save these people from themselves, or point them to a way to save them from themselves. And that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview, just to point the way, and we appreciate you being here with us. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and, well, all my friends everywhere. Thank you. And may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.